is my pleasure to present.
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Welcome back in hour number two. Three for Madness at 7:15. Halftime coming up at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk about J.R. Smith. You know the story of him going back to college, playing golf.
Billy Madison-esque.
A little bit. There's an interesting little subplot I saw involving J.R., people, social media, and what is and isn't okay. It was a little bit of a fracas yesterday.
Fracas, you said?
Yeah, a little bit of a fracas on social media involving J.R. Smith returning to college and Hennessy. I'm going to talk to you about that at the bottom of the hour because I think J.R. makes some good points, but we'll save that. In the meantime, Jay Mars and myself on a getaway day. Enjoy us. People asking who's filling in. A lot of people asking who's
for
filling
us?
In. For us.
Whoever's on national afters.
Do we know who it is?
Well, I know it'll be national, obviously.
Yeah.
It's DA from 6 to 7. I don't know who comes on.
Yeah, it's going to be DA and then whoever's after DA, which we probably should.
Then Rome. I think it's Bill Ryder, maybe.
Yeah, you're getting national stuff, but
not by our choice, by the way.
We just have four people working at the station.
I think it's up to 4.5 now.
Soundgarden now.
Soundgarden. The cuts and clips that are catching our eye today. Soundgarden. It's time to go round the world with Soundgarden.
We're going to start Justin for that game, and I think it's going to be a good opportunity for him, and then we'll be selective across the board for the other players as we go. But you're going to see a direction more of kind of like the old school fourth preseason game. Just kind of new for all of us, but that's where we're at as a staff and where I'm at too.
Okay.
I mean, he's named Andy Dalton the week one starter, so.
I don't know. Like, it's kind of the opposite of what Kyle Shanahan's doing.
It's 100% the opposite.
And
then, like, the drunk uncle of this conversation is Urban Meyer.
Right. And we've talked about it before. I'm a fan of what Kyle Shanahan's doing, provided, asterisk, he's already talked privately to Jimmy Garoppolo. And I would bet a lot of money he's already talked privately to Jimmy Garoppolo.
I would say he's probably talked privately to Jimmy and Trey.
Correct.
Or now, even brought him in the same room to explain the situation.
Right. Now, if it turns around and... That doesn't mean I'm 100% convinced that Jimmy Garoppolo is starting week one. I'm 98% convinced of it. But if Shanahan and company decide they need Trey Lance gives them the best chance, then you start Trey Lance. And guess what? None of the other Detroit who they play in week one doesn't know.
Right.
And we talked about that before. It's a tiny little advantage. Obviously, Detroit's going to look at both. But that's a different defensive scheme you're playing with Trey Lance in there as opposed to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to lie. If I'm Detroit without having seen Trey Lance play any regular season NFL games, I'm kind of hoping that he starts week one. If I'm Detroit, I like my chances against Trey Lance week one rather than a healthy Jimmy Garoppolo week
one. Because you know a healthy Jimmy Garoppolo with that line healthy as well, given time, will end up dicing you. He's not going to sit there and hit you with 50-yard bombs,
sure,
but they're going to score on you.
Doesn't mean Trey Lance can't start week one and just kill it, but again, you're playing the odds there. All right, on to a coach that does know a couple of things.
Soundgarden.
What do you hope to see from him, Bill, over the course of the next couple days with more opportunities here?
Look, our entire team has opportunities every day, all the way through the week against the Giants and in the game. I hope we can all take advantage of those opportunities. I mean, look, there's a big learning curve for all rookies, and we all have a lot of work to do. We're 3 weeks into training camp. We've got a long way to go.
A lot of people have issues with guys like Belichick and Popovich and how they deal with the media.
How they give you literally nothing?
It's my favorite thing.
Yeah,
because it's an art. There is an art to saying things but not saying things at all. They're asking what you're looking for out of Mac Jones. Pretty much any other coach. Hell, Kyle Shanahan would be like, all right, well, I have a list right here of what I'm looking for out of Mac Jones. Okay, I need him to do this in the pocket. He would just lay it out. Bill Belichick's like, well, everybody has opportunities. I mean, you know, we're looking for everybody to take advantage.
Belichick has this filter, I'm convinced, that when a media member asks a question and uses a buzzword that he has already pre-programmed in his brain, it automatically spits out an answer like that. He doesn't even think about it anymore.
He is chock full of cliches. Well, you know, I was just going to say he's chock full of cliches. He really
is. That's a cliche.
Yeah, it is. He just doesn't answer stuff.
No.
But he's not usually mean about it. He just won't. You're not getting anything out of him.
He doesn't have to be mean about it because that would ruin his gimmick if he was mean.
Right.
That's the charm of the whole thing is he's gimmick? It's gimmicky because it's a gimmick. Here's why. Because you know he could give you a detailed answer.
He could.
But it's his gimmick to not give you a detailed answer and do it in just a very, like, docile way almost.
Patriots, Giants happens.
That'll be a barn burner.
This Sunday, 3 o'clock. And
Jones versus Jones.
Right. What a great opportunity for Mac Jones to grab that starting spot.
Yeah.
And wouldn't it be just what a weird thing if he gets the starting spot in a game that Cam Newton didn't start because of some dumb COVID misunderstanding that was not his fault. By the way, Raiders Niners this weekend, too.
Oh, boy.
Number 3.
Soundgarden.
Everyone has a right to make their own decisions regarding their health and their body. I believe in that completely. Until your decision as to yourself impacts negatively many others, then the common good takes over. And I'm arm waving here, but that has everything to do with the way I look at our team, the Cowboys, or the way I look at our society. We have got to check eye at the door and go forward with we. Your Dallas Cowboys are doing that.
Check eye at the door and go forward with we. I say we add that to the show lexicon and flip it, of course.
I say we make that a permanent part of the imaging.
Check we at the door and go forward with I. You know, we stole the Bernie Sanders, me not we. We add that Jerry Jonesism in there.
You know, I think I could probably manipulate the audio to flip the words.
I think you should. Oh, I think you absolutely should. We'll put that in the... Who thought Jerry Jones... listen... I didn't have that. In fact, and when I first heard that clip, when I first heard it yesterday, and he's like, I believe everybody, I was like, okay, Jerry's going on a thing here.
And then, Jerry's going to Jerry.
And then Jerry took a left turn at Albuquerque, like Bugs Bunny. I mean, there you go. You saw Saints fans getting turned away from their game last week.
It's starting.
You're seeing more and more and more. Good luck.
Talk to a few friends who are quote unquote being forced into this,
you have freedom. You nobody's being held down, but you're going to have a lot of limitations that go with that. So, you know, have fun.
We got about a minute.
I was going to say, we got about a minute. Do we have time for
a bonus?
Do we have time for a bonus?
A bonus, you say? We do.
Well, then. Can we go to Lamar Jackson, speaking of all this? Can people figure out
Lamar? Can I hit the button?
Please.
Soundgarden.
Some unnamed official said that this is the year that...
I'm going to stop that because that question sucks. The audio. The question is, can people figure you out?
We're going to see. But I doubt it, dude. I doubt it. I strongly doubt it.
I mean, to be fair, if, you know, that Ravens offense is healthy, yeah. I doubt it, too. I think people forgot because Lamar Jackson had a down season for, you know, his standards last year. The guy won the MVP in 2019.
Yeah.
In case you forgot.
Not a bad player.
No, he's okay. Hey, worked out pretty well for a number 32 pick. Am I right?
Well, remember, a number 32 pick who, by the way, better suited.
Running back.
Better suited at running back or wide receiver, right?
Yeah. Well.
Now, Mark Ingram's gone. That opens up that running back situation. J.K. Dobbins is going to get loose this year.
Well, and Sony Michel, I mean, different team, obviously, got traded this morning from the Pats to the Rams, you know, because they lost Henderson and Akers.
Did they lose Henderson?
Yeah.
I knew they lost Akers.
Henderson got hurt, too.
So Sony Michel rolls in.
He's your RB1 right now in L.A.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. If I remember watching Sony in college. if Sony Michel can stay healthy, and again, this is like if Marvin Bagley can stay healthy. I get it's a pretty big I'm not just pushing aside that caveat. But if he can stay healthy, dude, Rams, he's not Cam Akers. But Sony Michel will be very, very, very serviceable, for lack of a better term.
I think so.
And the fact that they got him for basically two low-round conditional picks, they're not hurting at all. And Sony Michel's the type of guy that could just run over a lot of people. Just like a Hoblet truck. Run over a lot of things too. Now you wouldn't want it running over people, obviously, but you know, take that thing off road, have it haul gear, put all your stuff in the back. Hey, just because summer is almost over, and by the way, don't fool yourself, folks. We've still got another month and a half of this. Might almost be over technically, but it's still going to be hot for another month and a half. That means you can still go camping. Go to Hoblet Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Woodland. Pick yourself up a truck. As the weather gets a little worse, feel safe on the road. Hoblet, not California's number one Ram dealer for nothing. The deals like saving up to $5,500 off MSRP on new 2021 Ram 1500 Laramies. That's one reason. Thousands more in savings with 2.49% financing for 84 months. And Hoblet goes out of the way. They actually negotiate, and I've told you this before, better terms for their customers. That's why you get 249 over 84 months. They rolled into the bank and said, hey, we give you a lot of business. You got to help out our customers a little bit more. They stand up for you. That's why people go back and back and back and back. That is why they continually win the J.D. Power Customer Service Award for Excellence. Check out the full selection of Rams available at HobletDodge.com. Search, select, and save at HobletDodge.com. Hoblet Dodge, best prices, best selection, period.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, three for madness. Mike Budenholzer had a contract extension. Did the Bucs do the right thing there? That's a layered conversation we're going to have. Brandon Belt hit two home runs on the day he found out his grandma passed. Why is it that oftentimes athletes perform so well in these situations? And Nerlens Noel suing Rich Paul for $58 million. We'll talk about all these things next.
1, 2, 3.
It's three for madness time. Three for madness. Three questions, three answers.
1, 2, 3. Woo!
It's three for madness. Here's question one.
All right, bottom of the hour, we'll get to halftime. And then we will have conversations galore, including J.R. Smith going back to college.
Golfing J.R.
And interesting career choices throughout the years for athletes post-athleting. Although in this case, J.R. Smith's just switching sports. There's Bo Jackson, there's Deion Sanders, there's J.R. Smith.
Our first Hooper golfer.
At 8:05, ESPN has released a poll amongst players of what needs to be fixed in baseball.
Baseball needs fixing, you say?
Yeah, well,
really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. We'll talk about that. In the meantime, Justin Marshall.
That's me.
Three for Madden.
Well, David Carmichael, the Bucks extended coach Mike Budenholzer. Was that the right move?
Yes, it was the right move. Obviously, he won the NBA title. What I find interesting is that Mike Budenholzer had Kevin Durant clipped his toenails a little shorter. The Nets
gone down half a shoe size, right?
Right. And we're referring to Durant's foot being on the line in the Nets-Bucks series. That very well could have been the Nets moving on. And had the Nets moved on, we don't know this for a fact, but we pretty much know it for a fact. Mike Budenholzer's fired.
Yeah, I think so.
Most everyone believes that. So did Mike Budenholzer all of a sudden become this amazing coach? Did he do better? It's the way it happens sometimes.
Yeah.
I think we oftentimes get way too impatient with coaches. We forget that the coaches can only do so much. It's the players on the floor.
Listen, Mike Budenholzer, since taking over as an NBA head coach, whether it was with Atlanta or Milwaukee, has been great. Like, Mike Budenholzer is one of the best coaches in the league. You can't deny that. Had Mike Budenholzer been fired, he would have had a job if he wanted it going into this season somewhere else.
Right.
But like you said, he was probably going to be fired had they lost to the Nets. So this is interesting because here's the other side of it. You don't want to win a championship, go into the next season, and your coach is for sure a lame duck, right?
No, God.
You already got to worry about kind of a championship hangover to begin with. So you got to give the organization a little bit of credit for, you know, the stability aspect of that. So while I don't think, to your point, Mike Budenholzer just all of a sudden became a better coach, you kind of have to extend him after you win a title.
Well, yeah.
You don't have a choice.
No, I. There's no question you have to extend him. I just think it's funny that a big toe is there between him getting fired and not getting fired.
Hey, it's a game of inches, as they say.
I've heard that many times. Three for Madness, question two.
Question two.
Brandon Bell hit two home runs on the same day he learned of his grandmother's passing. Why do we often see athletes perform amazingly in the face of horrible news?
So the one that comes to mind, I think, always, at least for me, was Brett Favre throwing five touchdowns on Monday Night Football when he found out his father had passed away. And there's other examples of that, too. Now,
I think the most recent one, keep it local, Isaiah Thomas with the Celtics and his sister.
That was
amazing.
That's a great example on national television and just... It was one of the more, that's a wonderful example, Jay. It was such an emotional time for everyone, obviously Isaiah, but everybody who loves him.
You
so
see
much.
Him pregame on the bench, just like tears, crying profusely.
I've asked a question. I don't know if this is exactly a good bridge, Jay, but I remember asking Ron Artest many times about the off-court stuff he's gone through.
Mm-hmm.
And Ron was very fond of saying, when I'm on the floor, when I'm playing ball, I have 3 hours of sanctuary every day, basically. It's the only place where I'm not getting phone calls. I'm not sitting in a room alone with my thoughts. I'm not sad or angry or upset or confused. When I'm on the floor, I know exactly what I need to do, and I go out and I do it, and I clear my mind of everything else. And I think maybe my best guess would be some players, athletes, are so hyper-focused when they're dealing with something sad and tragic off court that it takes them to a different plane of athleticism almost.
Sure.
And that's not something that you can readily duplicate.
Yeah, and if you keep in mind, again, you said it, the word sanctuary to me is what really sticks out there. You want to get away from the tragedy, you know, and so you're going to extra focus in just because you have to in order to take your mind off of that.
Right.
I mean, you remember watching Vlade Divac's 99 playoffs against Utah, you know, everything going on with Kosovo. He's wondering if his family's alive.
Staying
Meanwhile,
up all night.
He's on the court just willing this team to victory.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. That's another great example. Remember hearing Vlade talk about being up till 3, 4, 5 a.m. Peja as well. Checking on their friends back home and then going out and kicking butt on the court. So it is a very interesting journey down the psychology of the athlete. Number three.
Question three.
Nerlens Noel is suing Rich Paul for $58 million in lost wages. Counselor Dave, does Mr. Noel have a case?
I'll tell you this much. If he wins this case, you're going to have to start calling him Poor Paul. It's $58 million.
We wait 1 hour and 22 minutes of just blissful radio.
His name's Rich Paul, but if he loses $58 million, he's going to be Poor Paul.
Crashing down. Like, nosedive like no other. I'm turning the music off.
I mean, let's be honest. Clutch sports, more like choke sports, because they lost the deal.
You know, at this point, because I asked you, counselor, if he had a case, as the judge, I would have thrown you. I would have held you in contempt. Yeah.
Noel took this action. Clutch filed a grievance saying Nerlens Noel hadn't paid $200,000 in commission on his previous 1 year deal. Noel's like, yeah, no. And here's what it kind of centers around.
Because he's a center?
Wow, I didn't even think about that, but that's very well done. Nerlens Noel said that Rich Paul advised him to pass on a $70 million offer.
Which, remember, he did pass on
He did pass on it to accept a one-year deal so he could be an unrestricted free agent the following year. Paul said he could get a more lucrative deal. Noel eventually did turn down the deal. He signed a one-year qualifying offer of $4 million. The following season, he broke his thumb. Didn't re-sign with Dallas next two seasons, making the league minimum $3.7 million combined. Played last season for the Knicks, making $5 million. He remained with Paul for all four contracts. Here's the problem. He got offered that deal, and he was with Happy Walters, his agent, saw Rich Paul at a party and fired Happy Walters and went with Rich Paul. This, we'll talk about more about this later. But this would have far-reaching ramifications because you're ultimately, it's your decision, Nerlens. You made these decisions.
So he doesn't have a case, right?
I don't think he – listen, I'm no lawyer, but if he has a case, so do about 50 other people, including who's the guy that
– Bonzi Wells is on line one.
Bonzi Wells, who's the guy with the facts that didn't get turned returned to the Heat? The facts didn't get returned to the Heat in time, which voided his option. You don't remember that?
No.
Weird that you don't remember that. Also, Nerlens Noel and other news looking to change his name to Nerlens, yes, I took the L. As he lost out on 50.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
I mean, okay. Comedy gold, and you're just moving on.
I am.
Halftime next. We'll talk about things that we talked about earlier in the show for those new listeners, and then we'll move on to J.R. Smith.
Woo! Right after this.
If you want a unique angle on a topic that no one in their right mind would think of, you're in the right place. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
Hi, I'm Dave.
Alex Bregman is returning to the Astros today. That's not great news for the A's.
Hasn't been a whole lot of great news for the A's.
No.
I think Dave Cavill and crew just booked another trip to Vegas.
Yeah. Serena Williams is also withdrawn from the U.S. Open, still recovering from a hamstring injury. She joins Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal. Am I missing someone other than Naomi Osaka? Those are like the four most marketable tennis players, right?
You said Nadal, Osaka, Serena, and
Federer. I mean, Djokovic.
Maybe. I was going to say, yeah.
He's okay.
He tennis as well.
Yeah, okay. I mean, okay. Sony Michel has been traded to the Rams. They lost Cam Akers.
Yay, Sony.
Two late round picks, conditional. Basically given away.
How many people reach for Sony Michel now in their fantasy drafts?
A lot.
All of them.
A lot. And of course, by the way, my wife's draft was on Sunday. We talked about that. Another example why you draft. Now, in this case, how many
waiver claims
are going in right
now? All of them. All of the waiver claims.
Uh-huh.
Whoever drafted last in that league is like, I guess they have to have Sony, though, score a touchdown for that particular league your wife is in, because he could have 200 yards and it would net, I think, what, half a fantasy point the way her system scores? Yeah.
I know we don't completely understand NFTs other than they exist, non-fungible tokens. Those are the NBA top shots and the crypto punks of the world. As fans are trying to remember Kobe Bryant this week in many different ways, to commemorate, so yesterday, 8/24 is, it seems like 8/24, and I kind of like this in the sense it's almost like Kobe Bryant Day
because it is
Kobe
two
numbers. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like a blockchain company has found another way to honor him. Cryptograph has released a series of eight never before seen photographs of Bryant as non-fungible tokens. Now here's where, this is why I'm reading it. Because otherwise I'd say, okay, but someone's trying to make money off of Kobe and whatever. All proceeds of the sales from the Kobe collection of NFTs will go towards the Mamba and Mambacita Sports Foundation.
Okay. So, as long as that tie-in's there, I'm right. Good with it.
Bryant posed for the black and white images in his early 20s during a magazine shoot with photographer Davis Factor. The 99 shoot took place at an abandoned warehouse in downtown L.A. He wears a variety of outfits as he poses, and no jerseys. He's just wearing different outfits, early 20s, never been seen before. They will be auctioned off. That's why it caught my eye, because anything that's raising money for that cause, obviously, it sounds like they have full support from the family. So,
you know what caught my eye? You know what's premiering next year?
What?
Karate Kid musical.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It's getting its pre-Broadway debut in St. Louis next year. Then it's going to go to Broadway. Guess who's going to be making a trip to New York?
Come on. Are you serious?
Yes. Are you kidding me? The Karate Kid musical on Broadway?
I just, like,
what? Not that I need an excuse to go to New York, but my God.
Okay, so does the best around have to be a song?
Yes. Oh, but if they, right. Listen.
Like, if that's not in there, it's automatically a fail.
Every
right?
critic should pan it if it's not in there. There needs to be, like, an orchestra version of that.
Come
like,
on, dude.
I'm here for it. You wouldn't go watch the Karate Kid musical,
I
by the way?
I would. Listen, I'm the guy who, before COVID, had tickets in New York that I had bought way, way early to go see Jagged Little Pill, the musical. Alanis Morissette's Broadway. By the way, wildly successful Broadway show, apparently, based on the album of the same name.
Yeah, you know, and if she wants to have some fun with that, she could just rename it Jagged Little Vax. It wouldn't make anybody upset. Wouldn't trigger anyone.
Heavy sigh. Now you got me thinking about what other movies.
See, you came in heavy with the dad jokes last segment. I'm coming in heavy now. Isn't it ironic?
Mike says on the YouTube chat.
Don't you think?
The Last Starfighter, just rolling through that. The Last Starfighter should get its own musical. I hear you. Yeah.
Mike would also probably go watch like Starship Troopers, the musical, Broadway.
Which would you
rather? Surf Ninjas, the musical. I just feel like that's Mike's thing.
What movie would make the better musical? Karate Kid or Back to the Future?
Well, there is a Back to the Future one, but it's in England.
There's a Back to the Future musical?
Yeah, but it's in the UK.
Okay, but whatever. There's somebody wrote a musical about Back to the Future?
Yes. And Back to the Future is the correct answer.
Okay. Now I'm thinking of movies that wouldn't work.
I don't think there is a movie at this point that wouldn't.
Oh, I do, and I'm not going to say them.
Would you go to Basketball, the musical?
Basketball is one of my favorite comedies ever.
So there you go.
Airplane the musical would be fantastic. Gladiator would be a phenomenal musical. Forrest Gump would
oh
be
my.
A tremendous musical.
That hasn't been done yet.
Have you heard of it? But then again, I
that doesn't mean it's not. That
musical.
Doesn't mean it's not hasn't happened because you're completely correct. I feel like Forrest Gump is like. Ready made to be a musical.
I don't think of musicals I've watched that I've ever enjoyed, and I think Annie might be the only one.
Grease? Eh. Grease 2?
No, thank you.
Okay.
I'm fine.
Halftime?
Yes.
You guys suck! That's how my coach used to get me fired up at halftime.
It's halftime. As we get into the second half of the show, here's what we've been looking at so far and what we'll be talking about next.
There are simply many critical discussions to engage in and decisions to be made in the coming months and years that will shape college athletics for decades. And we believe that together, along with our colleagues across the country, we can help play a formative role in both.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah, I'm almost... by the way, that's all about the ACC and the Big Ten and the Pac-12 putting together an alliance to discuss things about things in the future and maybe some scheduling. It's called the SEC's taking over college,
yes.
And they're scared of it.
Again, we kind of equated it to at the pro level. It would be like the AAF, the XFL, the USFL forming an quote-unquote alliance to battle the evil empire known as the National Football League. This isn't the SEC kind of the NFL of college football at this point.
Yes, very much so. I'm also a little more interested in what's going on the text line, and that's never going to happen. Ferris Bueller would be a tremendous musical.
I feel like that's happened.
You think so?
I think that has happened.
Pulp Fiction?
Oh, boy.
As a musical? I don't know about that.
About the Terminator.
Like where he's singing as he sings. Terminator or Terminator 2?
Both. Back to back. The Matrix musical. That's fun.
If the Sacramento Kings had a musical about their 10 years in Sacramento, 10 years.
Maybe he meant tenure.
Yeah, that probably it. If the Sacramento Kings had a musical about their tenure in Sacramento, what would it be called?
Basketball Hell.
Abject Failure. I don't know.
I think Basketball Hell is kind of
basketball
the phrase
hell.
That you would call
Basketball Hell the musical.
Yes.
Yes. It's not bad. You could have pyrotechnics.
You can have a whole lot of stuff in that thing.
Number two.
Hold on, I hit the button.
Number two.
Halftime. The stretch of the pitch all the way. Swing and a ground ball to short. JP's got it. Toss across in time, and the ball game is over. The Mariners win it 5-1.
Hey. The A's are in trouble. The A's are in trouble. They lose their four straight.
The A's were a musical.
If the A's were a musical, they probably couldn't afford to rent a stage.
Jekyll and Hyde?
It would have to be like in the in a high...
You're such a jerk. It's at the high school gymnasium. Attendance 14.
It's in the cafeteria.
Yeah. Why are we so mean to them every time?
I'm not. I defend the A's all the time.
No, you don't.
You bag on the A's because you're a Dodger fan.
Oh, is that it?
Yes.
I was looking for a reason of why I do that. 88 still very much on my mind.
If the A's had a musical right now, it would be called Please Help Us in the Bullpen. Because that's A.J. Puck had been lights out all year long.
Then he was lights on?
And now, you know, now he's just lights
out. Just lights.
Ouch, I guess. Anyways, he did not perform well yesterday, but that is not the reason. The A's were already down anyways. They're out of the wild card now. They're, what, 4.5 behind the Astros? They've lost the first two. They've now lost 1, 2, 3, 4 out of their last 6 at home. Right? Right. 2, 3. No, 4.
4 or 5.
4 or 5, excuse me.
Yeah.
It's not going to cut it. Here's my analysis.
I think that's Bob Melvin walked in and said, Les, this ain't going to cut it.
It's not going to cut it. Cole Irvin, 3 innings, 3 earned. Yeah, A.J. Puck came in 1 2/3 innings, just wasn't sharp. Gave up 4 hits, 2 earned. Did strike out 4, though. And then it was smooth sailing, I guess, the rest of the way. But it's also the bats, dude.
Well, that's been the biggest issue. The bats have gone cold. They've gone quiet. They're not waking up.
And you combine that with the issues that the Bullies have. A's take on the Mariners again today right here on Sports. A's have a lot of games left.
A's don't play today.
Or they're off today, excuse
yeah,
me?
Yeah, no, they that was a two-gamer
finally,
with the Mariners.
Finally, the A's get a day off. That's the other thing. They came back from Chicago after the whole Chris Bassett thing. Went straight into the series with the Giants. Maybe that's what they need. They just need a day off. Maybe that's they just need a day
the
off.
The Oakland A's day off. Musical coming to a local gymnasium near you.
Yeah, and then they get to relax.
They get four with the Yankees.
Get to relax for a day, and then, yeah, here come the Yankees. And
no big deal.
Number 3.
Yeah!
Oops.
That was
nope.
Nice.
Nope.
Sorry about that. Nope. Hold on. Nope. So let's try that again.
Halftime.
Bases loaded. 2 down. The 3-1 pitch. Here it is. Swing and the ground ball to first. Belts got it. Underhanded to Chatwood over the cover in time. And the game is over.
Yeah, the Giants beat the Mets. They really, 8 runs on 15 hits and they shut them out. This was an absolute slapping around. Sammy Long goes 5 1/3, a shutout ball, strikes out 4. The bullpen comes in, goes the rest of the way. A little bit of trouble for Tyler Chatwood. Bases loaded, and at one point looked like he was going to walk in a guy, but they get out of that. No runs for the Mets. Looks like Steve Cohen's tweet, the Mets owner last week when he tweeted about the bats. That's not working out.
No, at least not last night, right? Yeah. Also, you brought up the Tyler Chatwood situation. You've pitched before.
I have.
Is there a worse feeling when you're up 8-0 in the last inning and your manager's getting guys up in the pen?
Yes.
Because you
I mean,
can't,
no, there
you,
isn't.
There, it, like, come on.
No, it's embarrassing. And by the way, this is something that's often, you know, pitchers do throw on their off days. But when you warm up, remember, when you get to the end of warming up, those are, you're going the same speed as regular inning pitches within an inning. It's still a little bit of wear and tear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you'd just rather sit the guys down. Don't warm up at all. Just sit down and relax. 4-10 today, Giants take on the Mets. And you look at the standings, your Dodgers won. They need to chill. Dodgers have won 9 of 10 and then some. 2.5-game lead on the Dodgers for the Giants. 14-game lead on the Padres, who got beat by the Dodgers.
Like we all thought was coming this year. Hey, remember when it was the Padres and Dodger division this season?
I very much remember that. I very, very much remember that. And really, the Padres and Giants haven't played that much, so you can't blame the Giants for the Padres solely being 14 back. If the Giants were playing as everyone thought they'd be playing, I think the Dodgers would probably have about a 10-game lead in the division.
Oh, for sure.
Whoever.
The Padres, I hate to use the word surprising, but with all the money they spent in the offseason, the acquisitions they made, Yu Darvish, Blake Snell from Tampa, It's like, all right, they've spent huge money on this rotation. Obviously, the bats with Tatis and Machado, there's about, I don't know, $500 million tied up in there roughly.
Right.
To not be, A, in the wild card spot and to be that many games out of the division is breathtaking to a point.
It really is, and they already fired their pitching coach. But it does make you wonder how much of it is the Padres and how much of it is they just happen to be in the best division in baseball.
Well, they don't have a bad record.
Right.
And to your point, they are in the best division of baseball. But how many did you say they were out? 14? That's a lot. And then now that Cincy has passed you up in the wild card standings, which nobody had the Reds competing in that sense this year.
Important.
Joey Votto is like 57 and just going.
But you'd said it yourself. You know, the Padres are 9 games above 500. They have a fairly easy schedule the rest of the way. I mean, with a couple of exceptions. Mm-hmm. They'd be a half game behind the Braves, for example, as we said earlier in the crappy NL East. I don't know, man.
I mean, I get it. Tatis has had, what, 3 stints on the IL this year? That matters, but you have enough there that you shouldn't be that far out. Mm-hmm. I get being in third place. The Giants are an anomaly this year. The Dodgers are the Dodgers. But 14 games, man, that's just a lot.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about J.R. Smith.
Let's talk about J.R. Smith. Good friend of the show.
I am enjoying this story. I like it when people... J.R. Smith's always been a character.
I love J.R. Smith. Like, mainly because he never played for my team, so I've been able to just kind of embrace his goofiness.
I've often been drawn towards, you know, listen, I don't want to sit here and compare J.R. Smith to Ron Artest, except in this fashion. Those guys get clowned sometimes, but if you just accept the fact that, like for Ron, the thing that made me understand him more than anything is he at times was just simply a 12-year-old kid in a grown-up's body. And a lot of that had to do with some of the stuff the horrors he'd gone through growing up. But when you look at some of the reactions, some of the responses, some of the things he would do, I mean, this guy's showing up to practices and like a little, you know, one of those electric tractor type of things, those little race cars, you know, and J.R. Smith would do things like buy a tank and drive it through New York. It doesn't mean he's a bad guy.
Not at all.
He's just, not to make a, you know, mushroom joke here, he's a fun guy. Now, don't get me wrong. It ain't all perfect. But just go back through, for example, what happened in the finals, you know, the famous LeBron, you know.
That's going to always be what he's remembered for. Always.
It will. Now, and I want to be clear, some of the stuff that J.R. Smith has done or gone through in the past is not great. He does deserve you know, you can't just write it off his eyes.
No, the criticism's been warranted of him.
He's done some, you know, he's had some dirty plays. God, wasn't he briefly? I don't want to guess at this. I thought he was briefly either convicted of something or in jail for a minute. But J.R. Smith had a bumpy road. And by the way, J.R. Smith, his name is Earl Joseph.
EJ.
Is that right? Why is he not EJ Smith?
But
he went from the Hornets to the Nuggets to China, back to the Knicks to the Cavs to the Lakers. And somebody wrote something on his Instagram yesterday. And it was making a reference. It was a picture of J.R. Smith. It was a picture of J.R. Smith like walking to class. And somebody made a comment about Hennessy. You know, J.R. Smith talked about Hennessy before. I'm sure a couple experiences.
Haven't we all?
I thought J.R. Smith's response was very interesting. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, you know what? And this was on House of Highlights, the very popular Instagram account that showcases a lot of highlights.
Good YouTube account, too.
Right, right. And he said, this is the thing. He goes, I'm trying to do something to better myself. I'm going back to college, and you guys are still clowning on stuff from years and years and years ago. I'm not sure he doesn't have a point there. I'm not sure he doesn't have a point there. You know, there are certain things that if you do them younger, shouldn't be forgotten, as long as you know you were an adult, I guess. But also, a lot of the focus on J.R. Smith right now is clowning him. J.R. Smith is incredibly clownable, like JaVale McGee. Like, you just understand that they get clowned.
But similar in this sense, and I know this is probably what you're going to dive into here. But, like, JaVale McGee has carved out a nice career for himself. He's been an NBA champion, a good contributor on NBA title teams. He's an Olympic gold medalist.
Yes.
But when you think of JaVale McGee, you're always going to think of Shaqt and a fool.
1,000,000,000%.
First thing.
1,000,000,000%. Somebody had posted on that picture, said, this man, JR, really goes to my college. So it was a student there that took the picture. He's probably off the Henny right now. And House of Highlights posted the video. Here's J.R. Smith's comment. I'll quote it. I can't say the whole thing. All right, that Henny S word really is not funny. Y'all can try a different joke. I'm not really mad at the kid. Honestly, they're going to say whatever. But House of Highlights, the disrespect you post, it's truly enough. As a black man in America, you still can't move on from the BS that people continue to put on my name. Not one positive post about going to school and trying to better myself. You make it look so weak or corny to inspire my people to want to do better. You consistently bring up and post BS. Goes on to say that he actually recently set the record straight that he doesn't even really like Hennessy.
Which was probably the saddest thing I learned from that whole thing. Because as someone who is a Hennessy connoisseur.
Right, understandable.
I, very, like, JR, come on, man. That was our, that was like our bonding thing.
Now, let's get past a few things. JR Smith is obviously in a position financially where he can do this.
Yes.
He has made a lot of money in his career, and he can go back to school. This is not...
I like to say he's earned a lot of money in his career. Not just made a lot of money. Sure. He's earned a lot of money, so he's earned the ability to do this.
Fair. I don't begrudge... Not only do I not begrudge J.R. Smith for what he's doing, I'm proud of him for what he's doing. How great is that? You're going to go back to college. You're going to better educate yourself, and you're going to play. You're going to try to make the golf team. I'm rooting for him. I magnetize myself to stories like this because I love them. I love the Ted Lasso feel good.
Mm-hmm.
I truly need to believe that this still exists. And I also think it's important too because, and I brought up the money and I brought up the opportunity he might have now that a lot of kids don't. But I think the overarching message is the same. It's never too late to better yourself. It's never too late to change who you are, to build on who you are, and that's what he's doing. My question is just, how do you not root for this?
Oh, I've 100% rooted for this. If anything, I love the idea that it's not just the idea that he's going back to school. That's not unheard of.
Right.
It's that he's going back to school and also qualified as an amateur to play a sport. That you don't hear of an athlete retiring, going back to college and picking up an NCAA sport.
No, you don't.
Or is NCAA NCAA?
I think so.
Or are they NAIA?
Yeah.
College sport.
Either way. Finally, since we're just all over the place here, but in a good way, this just came across my desk. You probably don't know who Spencer Eldon is, do you?
Spencer Eldon won a major in 2013.
Close.
Okay.
Spencer Eldon is the grown man who once upon a time, as we all once upon a time were, was a baby, but he's a rather famous baby. He's the baby that was featured on the cover of Nirvana's Nevermind.
Ah.
Spencer Eldon has filed a lawsuit against Nirvana, alleging sexual exploitation. The cover, you may remember, depicts Eldon as a four-month-old in a swimming pool grasping for a dollar bill that's being dangled in front of him on a fishing line. Now 30 years old. He says his parents never signed a release authorizing the use of his image on the album. He also alleges the nude image constitutes child pornography.
Sounds like someone's just trying to get paid.
It's literally one of the most famous album covers of all time. I mean, seriously, probably top 10 album cover of all time. He's asking for $150,000 minimum from each of the 15 defendants, which include Dave Grohl and Chris Novoselic, along with Kurt Cobain's estate. We'll keep you up to date on that one, and we'll take a break right now.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, we'll look ahead. The Giants and A's schedules this week, also what's going on this week, and being that you and I are off tomorrow, Jay, but ESPN releases a poll of players in baseball. And changes they'd like to make. Let's get into this, see if we agree or not, and then let's see where that applies, or if it does to other sports. We'll do that next.